In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When Christ says, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, he is encouraging you to do good works. You are not to sit around idle, simply waiting for his return, where he will take you to heaven, but you are to be busy. Christ has redeemed you so that you might be busy and active and working on this world until he does return for you. So he has given you something to do. He has made you a manager in some level, and he expects you to carry it out faithfully. So he tells you, use unrighteous wealth. A better word for wealth would be mammon. Wealth implies everything that we possess. But mammon is more restrictive. It includes only that which we have in excess. So Christ is not talking about the daily needs of the body. Mammon excludes the daily needs of the body. In our eyes, we have very little mammon. In Christ's eyes, we have quite a bit. So he's not asking us to live in abject poverty. He's not telling us we must give away everything that we have to someone else. Neither is he saying we have to live hand to mouth. But I will let you decide if having multiple TVs, multiple toilets, multiple couches, multiple cars, multiple beds, and sometimes even multiple houses constitutes as a daily need. Christ calls it unrighteous, not because it is sinful and wrong to possess wealth, not even because it's wrong to make money, but he calls it sinful and righteous because people abuse mammon and wealth. As the saying goes, whoever loves money never has enough. The same is true for whoever loves travel. They will never have enough, and that will become their god. Or whoever loves their family will never have enough, and that will become their god. And on it goes. So you were created for greater things than to hoard money. You were created for greater things than to store up trinkets and cash and stocks. You were created for greater things than piling up cash. You were redeemed for far greater things than simply to travel or to see the weekend or to enjoy retirement. You were created to be the managers of God, and you were redeemed to be his manager once more, the very hands of God in this world through whom he works to bring mercy to this world. To each of us, he has given a little something. To some more, to others less. Some have more responsibilities and are in charge of more people, others far less. But to each he has given something, and he requires us to be faithful. And the result of that faithfulness does lead to happiness. Those Ten Commandments do describe what a happy, good life is. But notice what they do. They direct you outside of yourself to someone else. Make friends for yourselves, Christ says. So you are to live for others, not for yourself. And that brings happiness. The goal of the manager was selfish, self-preservation. He wanted to make sure he would be taken care of when he was kicked out. Do not imitate his goal. Your goal is not selfish. It's not career-driven, money-driven. It has little to do with you. But your goal is to make friends for yourselves. That is, to be kind and merciful, helpful and beneficial to those around you. Now, the manager's goal was wrong, but the way he achieved that goal was good. He slashed the debts. He cut down the yearly contracts. He was finally merciful as his master was merciful. He finally used his master's possessions in the right way, mercifully. So also must we be merciful. God has given you wealth and possessions and stuff so that you might serve and help and benefit others. Having wealth is not sinful, but using that wealth only for yourself is. Having mammon is not in and of itself sinful, but using it only for your own selfish enjoyment is. So we can possess more than one vehicle. But perhaps we use that vehicle to help someone who does not have a car, whether they be a child or an adult. And yes, we can possess a savings account. But perhaps we are saving that money for our spouse when the day comes when we can no longer adequately care for that spouse. Perhaps we do have a little bit extra so that the kids have a place to go to school that teaches them the truth of God's holy word. Maybe it's simply a house for your aging parents. Either way, Christ says it is more blessed to give than to receive. To be merciful, you first must be shown mercy. To love, you must first be loved. To be generous, you must first receive from your generous master. And the only way we receive such things is through faith. So without faith, it is impossible to be kind and gracious and merciful toward anyone else. Faith alone does good works. Faith alone saves, that is true. But faith is never alone. It is always busy and active, doing good things to serve God and one's neighbor. So we keep this order intact. Faith first, then works. Faith is never idle, even as God is not idle. For a good tree must bear good fruit. Faith always does good works. By faith and by faith alone we are saved and are made children of God and heirs of heaven. By faith and by faith alone we are set free. For it's the blood of Christ that has rescued us from sin and death. It is the blood of Christ that has removed the burden of having to earn our way to heaven. Heaven is ours. By grace, through faith. So we don't ever have to be kind in order to go to heaven. But we want to be kind, even as our God is kind to us. We don't have to control our tongue in order to be saved. But we want to. For we recognize when we speak, we should be speaking as if we say the very words of God. We don't have to talk to our spouse, to our children, to our siblings. We don't have to be kind and helpful and generous. We don't have to do any of this in order to get a place in heaven. But faith wants to do it all. Faith wants to be merciful even as God is merciful. Thus you see how beneficial faith is, not only for the life to come, but also right here, right now. Without faith, there are no works of mercy, no kindness, no love, no generosity. For whatever does not flow from faith is sin. And so by your works, the world will recognize that you belong to Christ. Last week, we were taught that we are not to judge the heart of an individual, but we judge only the outward actions. And that is very much true today. For by our outward actions and behaviors, we are known to be children of God. Good works flow from faith. So good works are proof to the world that we belong to Christ. So let us not complain about our governmental leaders as the world does, for we are people of faith, recognizing that God has put them there for our good. Let us not view our job as simply a means to make money, as so many in the world do. And then when they have enough, they simply quit. But let us view our job as a way that we can serve people that we have never met nor will ever meet with a product that we create or a service that we render. Let us not speak of our marriage in disparaging terms, as if we would be more happy or free if we did not have kids or a family or a spouse. But let us speak of our spouse as the most lovely, noble, and greatest gift God could possibly give. Not a partner, but flesh of flesh. Not a best friend, but bone of bone. Let our words be colored with mercy, even as God's word is filled with mercy. Let our actions be filled with generosity, even as God's actions in the blessed sacraments fill us with his grace. Let our facial expressions teach those around us not how this affects me, but concern for those around me. In a society that is quickly losing its grip on love, let us manifest true love to all we meet, not only in words, but also in our actions, using what we have been given for their good. This is what Christ means when he says, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth. For God has set you free from the burden of having to earn salvation, so that you might be free to serve one another joyfully. And God has equipped you with many great blessings, so that you might have a means to serve one another. So let us be ready to use whatever excess we have for the good of others, because it will fail us. Christ says it will fail us. That is, living in a rich and prosperous country, having full retirement portfolios, having a family, having multiple cars, and a place to lay our head at night will fail us. None of it earns a place in heaven. None of it is proof that we are children of God. So recognize wealth for what it truly is. Recognize your money for what it truly is. See it properly, not as a means to heaven, not as a way to make yourself happy, not as a means to increase your social status so that others might respect you and follow you, but recognize your money and wealth solely as a means to serve others. And then they will receive you into eternal dwellings, Christ says. Which means nothing more than that they will recognize that your good works flow from faith, and they will testify to God on the last day, even as they thank God now today for the good that you have done for them. Good works are a sign of faith. We see that in others. They're not a perfect sign. We can be deceived, but nevertheless, they still are a sign of faith that we belong to a merciful master. They do not save, but it's how the saved live. They do not make us merciful, but it's how the merciful live. They do not make us righteous, but it's how the righteous live. We love because he first loved us. We are generous because his blood has set us free to live freely for one another. So if we are not engaging in good works, if we are living only for ourselves, if our goals are self-centered, career-driven, money-driven, if we are constantly grumbling and complaining about the task at hand because we would rather do something else that pleases us, how can the love of God be in us? Dear friends, let us not love only in words and in speech, but in actions and in truth. And when our hearts condemn us, and they will, for we know how far short we have come to the glory of God. When our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. And he will once more announce his forgiving love to you. For it is by grace you are saved. It is by grace through faith that heaven is yours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.